Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, the Lord Jesus finished his series of warnings about signs to come that indicate the end of the world. He warned the teachers of the law and the Pharisees that by their rejection of him, they would lose their important positions of leadership and a place in heaven. Jesus also warned the people of Jerusalem that their city would one day become ruins. The parable of the 10 maidens, more commonly known as the parable of the 10 virgins, is a warning to people of every generation to live their lives in a way that is ready for the unexpected return of the Lord Jesus.
The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 maidens, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. While the bridegroom tarried, the 10 maidens all slumbered and slept.
This parable spake Jesus unto his disciples as they sat on the Mount of Olives.
You girls, stop your fussing. We're all fortunate to be chosen to go to the wedding.
Well, yes, we are.
Sure. I know. When are we supposed to be there?
No one knows. At least no one told us. Only that we're to be ready and waiting at dusk.
Well, then we'd better take lamps.
That is one of our specific instructions.
Then I'm going to get mine this minute before I forget it.
All of us had better.
Yes, we have. Let's go to the wedding.
Where's the bridegroom supposed to pick us up?
There is a gatehouse. We're supposed to wait in it.
Come on, girls, away to the wedding.
Oh, yes! Let's go. Let's go.
This isn't a very comfortable place to wait.
It isn't supposed to be. In fact, it is uncomfortable. All we have to worry about now is to be ready when he comes.
Well, aren't we?
Oh, I hope we haven't forgotten anything.
I know I haven't. I'm ready. Let him come and come quickly.
Oh, I hope he comes very soon.
Why doesn't he come?
Don't be so impatient. He said he'll be here and he will.
But look how late it is. Almost midnight.
He said only that he would come sometime after dusk.
I'm sleepy.
Well, I see no harm in taking a nap, just so we have everything in readiness for his coming.
This is going to be a wonderful wedding.
Where's my lamp? Where's mine?
Oh, do we have to have our lamps burning?
Absolutely. Your light must be shining.
But I don't have any oil. So busy, must have forgotten.
Oh, I don't have any oil.
I'm certainly glad that I remembered mine.
I don't see why we have to have the lamps lighted and shining. After all, we were busy getting things ready for the wedding. Surely the bridegroom will let us in. I don't see what difference it can make not having the lamps lighted.
Everything makes a difference. Every little thing that the bridegroom told us to do. As for the lamps being lighted, that's so our light will shine forth for the whole world to see and know that we're guests of the bridegroom.
Why don't you be a good girl and lend me some of your oil?
Oh, yes, if you use our oil, it wouldn't be your light shining. Also, if we give you some of ours, we may not have enough for ourselves.
Why don't you buy some oil?
We'll have to. Come on, girls, hurry, lest the bridegroom come while we are gone.
Yes, come on, we'll go get some oil. Oh, I do hope they get back in time. It would be a shame to miss the wedding merely because of the lack of oil.
Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come ye forth to meet him.
And they who were ready went in with the bridegroom to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Lord, Lord, open the door that we may enjoy the wedding.
Oh, yes, please open the door. Let us in.
Lord, Lord, open the door to us.
Verily, I say unto you, I know you not.
Oh! Oh!
Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
The parable of the ten maidens is only told in Matthew chapter 25. The Lord Jesus gave this parable in the last days before his fourth Passover in ministry, and it's about his second coming and the final judgment of the world. The bridegroom in the parable represents Jesus, and the ten virgins represent the church waiting for Christ's return. When Jesus was telling this parable, a Jewish marriage custom required the bridegroom to come to the bride's house to collect the bride before going to a banquet. The bridesmaids would go out to welcome the bridegroom on his arrival. If he came at night, they needed lamps. In the church, there are both wise and foolish people. The foolish people have no oil in their lamps, that is, no Holy Spirit in their lives. They are not prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, as they have not truly known him while alive on earth. They have never been born again by the Holy Spirit. In the parable of the ten maidens, as the bridegroom was coming, the foolish virgins realized that they had no oil left after not bringing enough, so they asked the wise ones to give them some of their oil. But the wise virgins refused to give away their supplies. From this we must learn an important spiritual lesson. The Holy Spirit comes directly from God. Grace and salvation also come directly from God. We cannot borrow them from other people. Each of us must stand alone before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, we won't be able to call our friends for help. It'll be too late then to get oil for our lamps. So the foolish young maidens went away to buy more oil, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came to his bride's house. The wise maidens went in with him, and the door was shut tight. The foolish ones had lost their chance. They hadn't been ready. Christ didn't know them. There was a time when if they had knocked, the door would have been open. But now, that time was gone forever. In John chapter 3, a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night to ask him questions. Although Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, the rulers considered Jesus not to be an authorized teacher on such matters. Nicodemus and some of his friends thought that they could work their way to heaven with all the good things that they had done and still did. But Jesus told Nicodemus, and on behalf of his friends, that they all had to be born again from above. Nicodemus had to receive a new life through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to repent or turn away from his old life of sin. He had to receive forgiveness and have his sins washed away. Public sign of this renewal was, and still is, baptism with water. Unless Nicodemus agreed to his old self dying, he could not receive a new self that God approves by being born again of the Holy Spirit. A new spiritual life means that a person has surrendered their lives over to Christ for his lordship and willing direction. Those who don't have the Spirit aren't part of the kingdom of God. Although the body of a believer in Christ may die, his spirit lives on in Christ's kingdom. In some churches, a person isn't baptized until there is evidence of change in that person's life and some basic Bible truths firstly understood. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus taught the parable of the wise and foolish builders. He spoke of a wise man and a foolish man, or a true Christian and a false Christian. Both men think that they are true Christians. Both think that they are building their houses on Jesus the rock. But the second man is fooling himself. These two men built the same kind of house. The houses looked the same. There was only one difference. One had a foundation, and the other didn't. In Luke chapter 6, it says that the first man dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The second man built his house on the ground without a foundation. From this parable, we can learn an important truth. The difference between a true Christian and a false Christian cannot be easily seen. False Christians are like false prophets who wear sheep's clothing but are really wolves. Yet when you look at them, they seem to be sheep or true Christians. Just like a house, every person needs to build his life on the only sure foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other basis for a house will one day destroy the house. The false Christian who built his house on the sand supposed that he was safe because he said he was a Christian. Satan desires to give people false security in this regard. For example, Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, surely supposed himself to be a true disciple, but from the beginning he was actually a servant of Satan. Every Christian needs to examine themselves to see what kind of house they're building. The false Christian seeks his own good first of all and lives to please himself. If our greatest desire is to get security, comfort, and prosperity in this life, then we're building our house on the sand. The false Christian seeks God's blessings, but he doesn't seek to know the God who gives the blessings. He never becomes a true Christian because he never puts Christ first or makes Jesus the Lord of his life. He loves God's blessings, but he doesn't love God. However, if our greatest desire is to know Christ and to be like him, then we're to be building our house on the rock, Jesus himself. The true Christian is one who hears the words of Christ and puts them into practice. How can we tell the difference between a true Christian and a false Christian? Only when trials and troubles come and our foundations or faith in Christ are put to the test. Jesus likened the troubles and trials in the parable about the wise and foolish builders to rains descending, flooded streams coming up, and to the winds blowing upon the houses. The rains stand for various kinds of trouble, such as persecution, loss of property, loss of health, and finally death. The flooded streams stand for worldly desires and worldly pride. These are the temptations that arise within us. By these temptations, which are both inner and outer, Satan tries to overcome us. Firstly, Satan tries to make us love the world, but if we refuse, he persecutes us. The winds stand for Satan himself. If the other kinds of trials fail, Satan attacks us directly with doubt, fear, and despair. These are the flaming arrows Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus also spoke about these three types of trials in the parable of the sower. Some seed, representing the word of God, was taken away by the birds, or Satan. Other seed sprouted, but it was scorched by the sun, that is, by outer trouble and persecution. Yet other seed grew, but it was choked by thorns, which are the inner worries and desires. God will test each Christian's foundation. When the trials of life come to us, will our house stand? Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." He gave warning that if the house owner knew when a thief might break in, he would have watched and not allowed it to happen. Jesus asked, "Who then is faithful and a wise servant? It is the one that his master has placed in charge of the other servants to give them their food at the proper time. How happy that servant is if his master finds him doing this when he comes home." Satan is the great deceiver, and we must be on our guard against his attacks. We Christians have the sure hope and faith that after our earthly bodies die, we shall live again with God without condemnation from our past. There's no need for anxiety about these believers who have died already. When we grieve over the death of a fellow believer, we're really grieving over our own loss, and this is natural. But even as we grieve, let our hope of eternal life overcome that grief. It's good to rejoice that our loved one is now in the presence of the Lord. How can we be sure that we will be raised from death? We can be certain because Jesus himself died and rose again. Paul said that when Jesus comes again, believers who have already died will rise and be carried into heaven first. After that, those believers still alive at his coming will be taken up into heaven. Then all believers will live together with the Lord forever. Paul urged the people to comfort one another with these words. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul said that Christ's second coming would be a surprise. Jesus will come at an unexpected time, and for that very reason, we must remain ready for his coming. Let us constantly remain obedient and pure in the Lord's eyes. Let us not leave one sin unconfessed. To watch and be ready for his coming means to look always for the Lord, to meditate on him, desire his presence, remain obedient to his will, and immediately repent of any known sin. Then when he comes, we shall be ready. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "My dear friends, stand firm and steady. Keep busy always in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever useless."
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.